welcome you this evening, and so beautiful. We're going to close the day again in Bethel Baptist Church at our evening service, and we welcome you who are here and those who are in the internet. Praise the Lord for you listening to our closing broadcast of the day. We always open with number 255, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Come to you, the Father of light and love, and again, we are thankful that we spend your day in your house. We pray, Lord, that as we again praise your name, and as we look upon some biblical foundation, and tonight, one of the strongest ones, the corporate prayer, should we pray together individually? We learned on two Sundays ago that yes, we need to pray. But should we pray together as a body, as a church family? And Father, you will teach us tonight through the scripture what is the truth about that tremendous opportunity as a church body. No wonder your house is called in Isaiah the house of prayer. Now, Father, bless us as we share from one another. Bless us as we check on the scriptures and discover the beauty of your truth. Bless those who are on the way home. They have to leave far away, or perhaps they are ill and they need to come home. Bless those who open the internet to listen across America and some across the world. And may this be, again, another great night in which we learn from you, from your holy word. Bless us together, Father. Give us the incentive that tonight we're going to learn for sure. Can we pray together? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you tell me your wonderful son and Brother Pastor Thompson have one? 258. He hideth my soul. I forgot to tell those who are in the internet, if you have a hymn like ours, or you maybe remember the name of the song, you can type it and we see it in the board. All right, Chris.
272, the solid rock.
272, the solid rock, and then we get Barbara, and then we get Anthony. All right, 272, the solid rock. Thank you.
never alone.
That's a great song or a prayer to 281.
Thank you.
314. All right? And we sing one stanza unless you request for more. All right? The second one. Okay, first and second. All right. Okay, here we are. That right after the evening service, we're going to have a brief deacon's meeting. We have to talk to Ivy, who applied for membership a long time ago. And even though we have few deacons, Ivy works in the morning and makes it every Sunday night. So we briefly run to the conference room and have a question about what's her check number, how much money she has, and all these things. And we ask the people when they become members. All right. Now another song that you would like to, all right? And usually if we're going to get a lot of Spanish people here, our brother represents a group of Spanish people, then we're going to have songs in Spanish, all right? In the evening, all right. And all the Americans will sing in Spanish, all right? Okay, Brother Greg.
132.
132. And 500 after. Okay, 132.
turn your hymn to number 500, and somebody may report for the Pacific Hill service today. And did anybody remember how many were attending? So, no, all right. 124, all right.
24.
Oh, I see. Okay. And so wonderful that we are still providing for more than 10 years our service here in the community on Pacific Hill. 500 talks about when the roll is calling up yonder, are you going to be there or not?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Maybe send some people, but no, it's not what the Bible said. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. So you have, only you know. Only you know. I cannot tell you, you go, you don't go, you go, but you know in your heart. So let's sing together, Raquel. Number 500. Too hard or what? Too easy. It's dangerous when you say too easy, all right?
Very well. Too liberal.
Too liberal. What class are you taking? Politics or? Political science. Yeah, it's difficult. But it's good training, though, so you know how people think. But you stand, all right? Like Esther, you stand in whatever it is, all right? Number 453, He Keeps Me Singing.
Thank you.
pass this to the audience. And if you are in the internet, you can request a copy of the outline. And we will provide it for you so that you know what we are talking about. Now, tonight, once again, we are continuing in our studies on Biblical Foundation series. And the studies involve 10 lessons on this, and Pastor will preach 10 sermons on biblical studies. What we do in the night is almost like a Sunday school class where you look and we have an open discussion. The first study is Bible essentials, and that's the first lesson that we learn, that the Bible is the Word of God. All right? That's the first lesson. It's all in the internet. You can pull the lesson from there. And when I finish Esther, I will bring these lessons to you. The second one is sin and salvation. Very important. Sin has got to be called sin, and sin is sin. Now also repentance and baptism. And we dealt with the issue of baptism not as a source of salvation, but as a response to our salvation. We don't get baptized to be saved. We are baptized because we are saved. Now, we last lesson that I have with you was the Holy Spirit at work and how the Holy Spirit really works. And then we study on the last Sunday before I left for Oregon, the discipline of prayer. And you have the outline in page 9 where the discipline of prayer went all the way to the end of our personal prayer. Now, what I'd like to bring you tonight is the second half of that lesson, corporate prayer. Are we okay in having a Wednesday night prayer meeting? Should we pray on Sunday morning corporately as I open the church service in prayer? We're going to see this. Then the next lesson will be faith and hope. There are two different words, all right? Faith and hope. And there are two words, and there are two different meanings when you use a verb or when you use a noun. And then the next one will be evangelism and world missions. Are we responsible to evangelize? Are we responsible to reach the world? Then resurrection and judgment. They are first resurrection, second resurrection. I'm going to explain that, and then the judgment. And so I want you to learn what resurrection really means. Because people say resurrection, they think it's when the coming of the Lord. But they have one prior to that, of the coming of the Lord, called first resurrection. And then the book of Revelation speaks of two resurrections, and we're going to study that kind of resurrection. Then biblical prosperity and generosity, they go together. You cannot prosper, and then you are generous to the Lord. They go together. You cannot prosper unless you are generous to God. We're going to get that lesson through. And then the final lesson, a spiritual family and church family. One thing is in a spiritual family, and what we do as a church family. What are our responsibilities as a church family? Why do we keep the whole day here and attending church and moving on until the end of the day? Are we fanatics, or are we fulfilling God's word? And that's very important. All right? Now, here we are. The discipline of prayer, that's how we studied last time. And then personal prayer, we already studied that. And now we're going to see corporate prayer. That's when we're going to start working together tonight. Corporate prayer. You understand what corporate prayer means? Any questions? Chris, you understand what corporate prayer is? What is corporate prayer? Pray with a number of people. Other people call this congregational prayer. I just say corporate prayer because it's more than one. All right? More than one person. Okay, now here we are. Question number one for you tonight, and the way we do it in the nice question, what are the disciples, what were the disciples doing as they waited for the day of Pentecost? And we have to go for the answer in the book of Acts, all right, in our Bible, the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 12-14. Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 12-14. Alright? Then they returned to Jerusalem. Remember that Jesus said, wait for me at Jerusalem. From the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, is Sabbath day journey. What is, how long is that? A week. Is that right?
Yes, what you said?
A week. Exactly correct. A week. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were standing, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, and the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continue with one accord in doing what? In prayer. In prayer. And supplication. And people say, well, the men prayed, women cannot pray. Look at here. With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So, hey, read the scripture in order to make statement. Women can pray. And they were all praying together. So, we do the separation on our Wednesday night prayer meeting because we save time. But it will be okay if we are all together and we pray together. But if we do Wednesday night and we finish by 9:30 or so, imagine if we all together, but we finish by 11. All right, so that's what we do. But they were all praying together. So what were the disciples doing, class, then? Praying. They were waiting in prayer. Now, I tell you one secret. If you wait without prayer, you get anxious. Is that right? That happened to me. If you wait for something to happen without praying, you get unrest. But if you pray, then you have something to communicate to God that looks like it's something that helps you to keep up going. All right? Okay. Now, second question for you. What the believers do when they heard of Peter and John's arrest? So we are in the book of Acts, which is the book of history of the church. Go to chapter 4 with me. And we're going to read from verse 23 to 31. What were the believers do? Now, these are all the people that were saved. And they heard that John and Peter were in jail. So let's see what they did. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. This is the prayer of the people who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and with the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever you can and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, verse 29, look on their threats and grant to your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, this is a key verse in my life, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, what a wonderful. Now, I want you to notice two or three things. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke what? Yeah, they spoke the word of God. They don't speak in tongues. Do you see it? That's really important, verse 31. People say, oh, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues. Now, here's what the scripture said. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word. All right? Notice here in these circumstances, the believers pray, all right, for their arrest. And they pray. You notice what they did in their prayer, verse 25 and 26. What do you notice over there that when they pray? What do you notice that they did in prayer? They quote scripture. Thank you, brother. They quote scripture. See, these believers were just believers, new believers. And when they pray, they make quotation of a scripture. That's very important that you remember a scripture. Nehemiah did that all the time. Lord, you said that if we sin, you spread us out. But if we go back to you, you said you gather together. We're coming back. Gather us together. And God did. You have the right to quote scripture and prayer. But you have to read it before. Okay? And know it. And know how to apply it. All right? So, believers pray for this. Now, what was the church doing while Peter was in prison? Chapter 5, please. Go with me to chapter 5, verses 5 to 16. Excuse me, I said chapter 5, maybe need new glasses. Chapter 12. Or maybe you need a new pastor, one of the two. Chapter 12, alright, in verse 5. What was the church doing while Peter was in jail, alright? Verse 5 in chapter 12 of the book of Acts said, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. What does that mean? And the people of God. They all were praying together. Alright? And when Herod was about to bring him out, they wanted to kill Peter, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the doors were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hand. Then the angel said to him, Gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, Put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. I think Peter thought he was sleeping. You know, he said, well, what a nice dream, you know, I'm getting out of here. All right, verse 10. When they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hands of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So, when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together playing cards. No, praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. You get the picture? She says, oh, wow, it's Peter. So she forgot to open the door and she went on to tell them. Verse 15. But they say to her, You are beside yourself. Yet, see, we believe, we pray, but we really believe very little, don't we? Here the people believe in God protect Peter. Now Peter shut the door, and people say, no, come on, cannot be. Come on, you're praying, all right? Verse 15. But they say to her, You are beside yourself. Yet, she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, It is his angel. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they can't believe it. They were astonished. You know, sometimes we receive answers to prayer, and when the prayer has been answered by God, we say, oh, wow, I can't believe it. Why we don't pray more? You know? What is it that we are not praying? What is it? I don't think it's unbelief. I think it's the lack of having the opportunity to pray and receive an answer. Because if you pray and you receive an answer, you will pray more. Amazing. All right? Do you see what happened here? What really took place? Tell me. One, Peter's in jail. Two, pardon me? People are praying. Number three, God answer. Number four, and the people doubt, you know, that God answered. See, that's unbelievable, but it happened. Because God specializes in the impossible. See? That's what we pray. We don't pray here, God, give me a job, get a splendid job. You go on the street, you get a job in 10 minutes in America. But you know, people have categories. No, I don't want to do this job, but I want to do the other. Well, you're hungry, you do all kinds of jobs. You know, I keep saying these, I got it from Pastor Greg, and I announced it in Oregon, and everybody agreed. I said, he say it, so don't blame me. But I said, but here is what it is. If we cancel all the welfare, all the Americans will work, because they know how to do it. And I prove it to you. I prove it to a guy, he argued with me, and I go every morning. I found a place, another O'Henry, it was a little McDonald's place, the old people go in the morning. I went over here in the morning and talked to the people. And I said, you know, a problem in America, they were all Spanish. Only the Spanish people come here and work. I said, don't be like this. I said, you Americans should do the work. So they cook our place. No, sir, they don't. I said, if we have the welfare, they're all going to work. Oh, no, I show you. And we went outside, and there's dogs all over the rivers, you know. You get a muffin, and you put a little bit like this. Well, one dog came in the morning. And the next day I came in, and the dog bit my leg. They want food. And I said, guy, you don't work today. Well, the next day there were two dogs. When I left over there, were more than 10 coming in. Because every day I give some food free. You know, this is what happened. So God has, you know, people have ideas, wrong ideas. And this is so beautiful. God answered prayer. I mean, the most difficult prayers of your life, which is dealing with us individually. God, change me. That's the greatest prayer that we can have. God, mold me in the image of Christ. Remember Romans 8:29 said that God has predestined us to be in the image of Christ. And that's how we need to pray. Lord, mold me as a husband, mold me as a man, mold me as an individual, as a pastor, to reflect the image of Christ to the congregation. And you pray in your level, and your thing. And pray, because God really answered. Number four question. What were the Antioch church leaders doing when God called Saul and Barnabas to the mission? Remember, that's in chapter 13, right here. God called them, and let me read it for you, verses 1 to 3. Now, in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fast, again, remember this morning, fast is in relation to prayer, the Holy Spirit said, now separate me to me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, and laid hands on them, and sent them away. Now what were the leaders of the church doing? Praying. We need to get somebody out of this Jerusalem area into the world to teach the word. Who's going to do it? They don't know. If they pray, and God show them, which one should we do it? Now, these are people who pray together, all right? Number five, what did Jesus promise in Matthew 18:20? You know it by heart. I have made quotations of these many times. What did Jesus promise? Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together, in my name, not just gather together. In my name. In other words, what means in my name, class? What do you think the scripture said? If you gather together in my name, you saw the M with capital? Pardon me? In God's name, what does that represent? For God's glory under His authority. Under His authority. If you gather together under my authority, I am there in the midst of them. So if we gather together as a church and we never talk about the Lord Jesus and we never open the Bible, we are not gathering together in His name. Alright? We only are gathering together in His name when He is the authority. And the authority of Jesus reflected in the Scripture. All right. Now, that's what they did together. Now, I want biblical prayer lists. You know, we Wednesday night, we have a prayer list here in church. Now, I'm going to show you a biblical prayer list, okay? What was Paul prayer for the Ephesians, all right? Let's see. Let's go to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1 of Ephesians and verse 16 and 17 and 3:18. So here we are. And you tell me, I read the scripture, and you tell me, I went through the Bible and the apostles and the prayers. And so here's the biblical prayer list of the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now I go to chapter 3 and to verse 18. All right? Here it is. May be able to comprehend. I will go. Ephesians 3:15 to 18. This is another prayer. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He will grant you, according to the riches of glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, verse 18, with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the high, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, here is a little summary of Paul's prayer. What did he pray for? Ephesians 1 and verse 16 and 17 and 3:18. Have two prayers of Paul in Ephesians. What did he pray for? Okay, he prayed in verse 17 in chapter 1. He said, may you a spiritual wisdom. See, it's not that you may know too much. What is wisdom? Simple definition of wisdom is the application of knowledge. The application of knowledge. You can know everything, but if you're not wise, you are zero. See? My father told me when I was an engineer, he said, and was very young, he said, the first thing you need to know is how to work and how to apply every minute of your life in the work you're going to do, or you lose money with employees. And that's true. The knowledge. And that helps me tremendously when I came to America and direct a factory to build the rapid transit. I knew exactly where to bring the steel, where to put this, when to put the other, when to move this from here to here so they don't do two moves and they lose money. All right? And so on. And the application of knowledge. You know the scripture, but if you don't apply, you are no wise. Remember what Solomon prayed? He prayed for wisdom. How to apply knowledge. Now look in chapter 3 then. And in verse 18 said that ye may be able to comprehend with all the signs what is the length and the depth and the high to know the love of Christ with passage knowledge. See, some people think that knowledge is the highest thing you can have. No, knowledge is the love of Christ. It's the love of Christ. And he pray that the church may know the love of Christ. Now, why is it so important, the love of Christ? How is the love of Christ? Say it again. All understanding. Why? What is it? What kind of love? How did He love us? He sacrificed. Remember, he said to the man in Ephesians 5, I'm doing premarital classes here on Tuesdays and Thursdays with a couple. I miss them today here in church. Matthew and Heather, they're going to be married, I think it's in November? November 10th. That's another, we have to schedule the church because there's going to be a big dinner here and so on. And you know, what's going to happen is, I said, you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And what's the next sentence? And gave himself for it. He smiled You know, don't smile, because it's going to cost your life. When you marry, it's going to cost your life. He said, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean exactly what I said. Christ gave himself and died for the church. And you're going to give yourself to your wife with no complaint and no condition. Are you ready to marry? Woo, that's heavy. Yeah, I know. It's heavy. Marriage is not something. See, so Paul said that the church of God may have the wisdom what to do with the gift of God. And what is the church supposed to do with the gift of God? Preach the gospel. Teach the word of God. Remember, in Ephesians 4:2, say, Kerusun ton logon. Preach the word. Preach the word. That's what the church needs to do. That is the wisdom of God. The church needs to preach the word. That's what it is. All right? Now, we go to the next one. What was Paul's prayer for the Philippian church? So you're in Ephesians. Next book is Philippians. All right? And we read verses 1 in Philippians, verses 9 to 11 in chapter 1. Well, here's his prayer. And this I pray, he said in Philippians 1 and verse 9, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. Maybe your King James said judgment, but it's discernment. That you may approve the things that are excellent, not just good. You know this? Not just very good. Excellent. In Argentina, they classify, when you do the homework, they classify like this. Good, very good, and excellent. Excellent will be 100. Right? No mistakes. Very good will be 96, and good will be 90. The rest, garbage. And so that's the school I went. All right? So here it is. Look at how good in verse 9. And this I pray, he said, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, what did he pray for? He prayed for discernment. What else he prayed? For excellency. I keep saying to all the young people, you go to school, you are number one. Tell you. No excuse to be number two. I told her, right? Jacqueline, you go to one of the greatest universities in the United States of America. You have 32,000 students, you're number one. What? Yeah. No 399 score. 401 score. You're superb because you're a Christian. They're all bandidos over there. There you are, the light of the world. You're number one. And I keep calling every day. Guys, that number one is, oh, this is easy. Because he did so much before. It's easy. I have 5 classes. It's easy. It's easy. Very easy. All right. Don't think in that way. Don't give yourself, you know, when you think it's very easy, what happened? Yeah. One time we were going to play soccer with one team that was low. I saw it just a little bit before coming to church. My team, Boca Junior, playing with that. Cologne. Who cares about Cologne? Boy, they left the guard down. The other team almost put a goal. So you don't let your guard down. All right? Okay. So remember, here's another prayer list. Lord, help me to strive my Christian life in excellency. All right? Okay. What was Paul's prayer for the Colossians? So you are in Philippians. Philippians, Colossians, all right? Let's see what chapter. 4, verse 2 to 4. Chapter 4, verse 2 to 4. Let's see what he prayed for them. Chapter 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God will open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, what did he pray for? Very unique. What did he pray to the Colossians? He prayed to them that they will do what? Pray for him. That's what we do for missionaries, don't we? That's what we do for missionaries. That's what we list the missionaries. That's what I pray for the missionaries every Sunday morning. Pastor Thompson got the idea, and in his prayer, I checked the date minute by minute, and in his prayer, he got one of the most beautiful prayers I ever heard, and I sent him a chat saying thank you. Bless my heart when I listen in the date. one of the most blessed prayers, because he prayed completely for the body of Christ and for the ministry of Christ, which is the missionaries. And that's how we support. We don't pray for missionaries just for praying. Somebody told me, he said, you pray too long. I said, well, you forgot that this house is called the house of prayer. And I said, you don't come to Wednesday night for the ladies. They pray long. All right? Yes, sir.
We set the missionaries on. Yeah, no, we shouldn't pray for our missionaries. Well, they're in the front line. We need to pray.
We are commanded by the scripture, because Paul said the best answer to people, so why we do that is because the Bible says so. Then nobody can argue. And people ask me, so why do we pray? That's it right here. Paul said, hey, pray for me. Let me have an open door. And Paul was a missionary. All right? So here we have. Now, number four, what was Paul's prayer request for the Thessalonians? The next book is Thessalonians. You go to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians, verse 1 and verse 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may deliver from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Now, what are he praying for? Verse 1? Let's say, verse 1. What did he pray for? He prayed for? The word of God, what? What means may run swiftly? Brother Cassandra, what do you think that means, may run swiftly? Without interference. That's a great answer. You got 10 points. Oh, 100 in America. 100. All right? Without interference. Lord, because what was the interference? Where Jewish people interfere? The government interfere? See, here, the radio broadcasts our service. The internet broadcasts our service. We open the door, and we have our service, and we have no interference. Is that right? Until now. When the Arabs take over the country, it's different. But this is what it is. See? No interference. But there, the people have interference. Okay? All right. Now, verse 2. And that we may deliver from unreasonable and wicked men. That was the interference. And some of them, they call themselves Christians, but they hold to the Jewish religion. And that's the interference they have. So he prays the Lord. We want to do the work, and we want you to pray for us, and pray in a wonderful way, that we may continues in the word of God as you do, he said. You notice? As you do. As you are doing, we want to do the same thing. Number 5, what does your prayer list look like compared to the list of the Apostle Paul? You know? Usually we pray, Lord, the kitchen, the carpet, the car, the house, the job. Funny? The car. The tower, the pickup. What did he pray? Did he pray for any personal need? Zero. What did he pray for? If you had to make a summary, what did he pray for? Did he pray for the spiritual advancement of the believers? We get so concerned about this world that even when we pray for the things of the world. Let's pray for us. Lord, shape up my life that I may reflect Christ. That when people look to me, they said, you are just like Jesus. Wow, that would be the greatest compliment you have. The greatest one. All right? I walked yesterday, the day before yesterday, Thursday morning, in the gym. Very early in the morning, it was 5-something. And one guy was doing this, and I know the team that we run together. And one guy said, watch out, the bastard came! You yield from the back, you know? United Airlines pilot, retired pilot. And I say hello to him. I met him in O'Henry many times. And I said, watch out your legs, you're going to break. You know, he's just very slow, 0.25, very slow, like this. I think he's there just to watch the girls. He goes like that, you know. And he just walked like that. And I said, watch out, so don't go too fast, you're going to break your legs. You know, and I go from 6.5, you know, the guy said, oh, you're going to get sick, he said. But watch out, who knows where they were talking? So watch out, the pastor came in. If I ever gave in any of their conversation, there will be no respect for God. And many times I have said to them, you know, I don't want to hear that. And I have all kind of equipment. I have an iPod, black iPod things, and I put it on, and I move on, and they look here. They don't say anything, but they know now where the line is. Raquel was very young, maybe 18, 19, when she worked in the chemistry company, and she walked in, and the people start joking, bad jokes, she told me this story. Remember? When you were very young. Because they know you. Don't be afraid of them. They will respect you. They love to have somebody with character. That's what we need to pray. That's the word I was looking. Let's pray that God will give us and expand the Christian character in my life. And God will take care of our future. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let the church pray. Help this church to be a church that prays. Help us to gather together and pray. Not just for the little details that we can do. There is something that we cannot do unless you empower us, and it's to change us from within. Oh, change us, God, that we may reflect the image of Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. And we meet Deacons and Brother Greg. I'm sorry.